Hello, and welcome to the Thriller Zone. I'm your host, David Temple. Before I introduce today's guest, I want to say a hearty thank you to the new listeners joining the show. You know, when you're starting something new, you often wonder if anyone will like it, if they get it, if they'll be coming back for more. Well, evidently, you do, and you have. First, thanks for the reviews you left on our main website, thethrillerzone.com. M. Carlson tells us that while not usually a podcast listener, after listening to Nicole Bart on The Thriller Zone, they are hooked. MC goes on to say nice things like, "My line of questions are both entertaining and insightful." Thank you so much. That's very kind. And to Ted Flanagan, who says, "The Thriller Zone is an amazing resource for lovers of mysteries and thrillers." Ted, that's mighty nice. Thank you. And over on our YouTube channel, David Darling writes several nice comments, one about Eric Bishop and more recently Kevin Tomlinson. Thanks, Double D. Speaking of YouTube, we now have 45 subscribers. As soon as we hit 100, we can change the name of the channel from David Temple Author to The Thriller Zone. So tell your friends about our show and be sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you'd like to be notified of new episodes, be sure to tap the bell for alerts. Okay, let's meet our Friday's guest. Part of our two guests per week as part of our Thanks for Giving Your Support to Our Show month. In fact, it's a double-double because I welcome the writing duo of Mullins and Mabry, that's Steph and Nicole, to talk about their thriller, The Family Tree. So let's you and I get in the thriller zone.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, young lady.
How are you doing today?
I am so good. Thank you for joining me.
Hi.
Hey, Steph.
Well, my puppy just was like, "Do I hear voices?" and started jingling out in the hallway. So
we're hoping. Well, we were just saying because I had just closed the door and Dexter came to the door and he'll knock his nose against it like, "Dad, hi."
Excuse me. Yeah, I know. It's better if I just don't close doors because she'll just be louder trying to like get in than if she's just loud to roam around.
Yeah. Side note is we're here in the green room, we call it. Mm-hmm. How many Zooms have you done or do you do on a given day?
I mean, total, we've done a lot, but I think like on a weekly basis, we probably do one or two right when the book is launching and around that time. But now that it's tapered off a little bit, we've had a week to kind of rest and not do anything, which has been really nice.
Yeah.
And then when we just need to talk to each other, we usually just like hop on FaceTime a lot. So we only kind of Zoom personally if it's like a lengthy, we need to share screens kind of like process. Otherwise, we just kind of like quick hop on FaceTime because we spend enough time on Zoom for work and meetings and interviews and everything. So, you know, got to minimize it a little bit when we can.
But literally FaceTime at least once a day. I think there's like, there was one day a couple weeks ago where it was at nighttime and I was like thinking, "Oh my gosh, I haven't talked to Steph today. This is weird." And then she called me and I was like, "I guess saying how we didn't talk today."
But it's a super day.
It's kind of cool to be girlfriends and co-writers, right?
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. Give someone to like share everything with, which is fun because when you're an author, it's like, if someone's not going through it, it's hard for them to understand exactly what you're experiencing. So it's nice.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, I wonder if people fully appreciate the fact, and appreciate is a relative term because it's not like we're suffering in a prison somewhere in a foreign country, but how solitary our life can be a good portion of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Writing is a very lonely job. So it's been fantastic having someone to do it with.
Yeah. By the way, if I can, you know, be a girlfriend for a second, Stephanie, am I right? Or were you blonde? I was looking.
I'm recently blonder than I was.
Okay. Okay. It's not my imagination.
Yes. It's a recent freshen up change. So a little brighter than I used to be.
Well, it's very fresh.
Thank you.
because I was putting together the poster art for you gals, and I'm like, I got this great, sassy, high fashion photo of yours, you know, with that little over the shoulder look and these chandelier earrings. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, she's a supermodel.
Yes.
That was back when I was working in fashion in New York, actually, that I had that picture taken. So makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, first of all, let's go ahead and just jump on in here and get right to it, because we're talking about the family tree here on the Thriller Zone. And we're going to get to this in a second, but I do want to do a little bit of warm up because, and since at least one of us is from the South, I can say, how y'all doing?
Yes.
And so Nicole, you're in, I feel like, although I don't know how this will end up on the screen, I feel like I should be turning to you, like here on the Brady Bunch and turning to you.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm in New York City.
Gotcha. You're, are you New York City proper or Queens, Long Island City?
Queens. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. And Steph currently is, you're in Charlotte, right?
Yes, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina now.
Okay, here's my little sharing of my 6 degrees of separation.
I love it.
I don't know. I feel like I'm channeling PJ Vernon all of a sudden, wearing pink and talking about, yeah, girl, let's talk about this. Yeah,
I love it.
So here's my 6 degrees, less than 6 degrees, because Steph, I lived in New York many years ago. That's where I met my current wife.
Nice.
And I left Charlotte to go to New York, where I lived for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Yep. I was in New York when I met Nicole and then relocated to Charlotte. So we were on an opposite path there.
See, now that coincidence is a little wacky, if you ask me.
I love it. Yeah.
And what a change. Like Tammy, my wife, said she was living in Manhattan up on the Upper West Side. And she said, you know, what's it going to be like? How are you going to feel about leaving, you know, slow Southern Charlotte, the Queen City, for New York? I said, well, I'm a Southern boy at heart, but I lived in Manhattan and had a radio show back in the mid 90s. So I'm kind of familiar with it.
Yeah.
And then she came down and she saw how slow it was. And she goes, oh, you do have an adjustment.
I've been like back and forth a lot because I grew up in the North and I went to college in South Carolina. Then I went back to New York for work and then I came back to North Carolina. So I've been back and forth so much, but it's like a constant adjustment every time you change regions, right? Because it's so different. But now I feel like I can't slow down. I'm such a New Yorker at heart. I'm like, everyone down here is like, talk slower all the time. I always get yelled at for talking so fast. So just yell at me if I start spieling too quickly.
I don't know why I was expecting to hear a little bit of a Southern drawl, but
I'm not from here originally, so no Southern twang, just relocated down here.
And mine only comes out when I've had a couple of too many glasses of wine, I suppose.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. I want to find out, because another writing I've only had one other writing duo on this show, and it was Andrews Wilson, which is a slightly different variation on your flavor of thriller. But tell me how you two met and what made you choose writing together. I mean, there had to have been some kind of an impetus that said, hey, wait a minute, you're cool, I'm cool, I like to write, you like to write.
Yeah, so Steph and I met at a job in 2012, I think it was. We both started it on the same day. And then when we were introduced to our desks, they were basically at the end of a hallway. So
by
it was
themselves.
Just by themselves. They just slapped two desks at the end of a hall and that's where we were working. So we were in this little tiny confined space. So of course we got to know each other very quickly. And while we were working there, I started writing my first solo novel, and Steph and I realized that we both shared passion for writing and for true crime. And then even after I left that job, Steph and I kept in touch. We kept beta reading for each other. She started writing her book, I was writing mine. We would sit across from each other at a little coffee shop and just work together and bounce ideas off of each other. And I think for me especially, and I'm sure with Steph too, it became very quickly to me when I was reading Steph's work that we had opposite strengths. And I think that that's very rare to find in a writer, that they excel at the things that you don't excel at. So, you know, I would constantly complain to her about the things that I hated doing about writing, and I just wanted to focus on this other area, and she would too. And so I finally started broaching the topic of us co-authoring, and I knew for Steph it would be a matter of finding the right project, the right plot. Because I come from a very different place. I'm very horror movie, gore, you know, give me all the blood, I can do it. stupid basketball plots. And Steph is definitely geared more in like the true crime area. So we really had to figure out a way to meld those. And the first way to do that was with plot. So I spent, I think, a good 2 years just lodging plot after plot at her. And I knew she was just waiting for the right one. So I didn't get discouraged. I was like, okay, it'll happen. I just have to find the right one. And so one day when the Golden State Killer was caught using genealogy, I messaged her and I said something about 23andMe go. And it was it. That was it. It was like a lightning strike. And yeah. Went with it.
All right, before I jump in there, Steph, you add to that because you were like doing this.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It's funny, like we would, it was kind of a running joke at first. Like, oh, if we could just be one writer, it would be perfect. Cause like we like the exact opposite things. Like, why can't we just combine our brains into one person? And that kind of joke then turned into the serious discussion of, well, what if we did write together? Like we already love each other's notes and styles and things like that. So even though we were very, very different writers, like we liked different point of views to write from, we liked different plot topics, like we still really just wanted to find that common ground and work on some project together because we were having so much fun talking about it. And yeah, like Nicole said, it was just kismet. Like she texted me that and then an hour later I called her and I was like, this is the plot that just came to me and it happened to be exactly what had come to her. So it just was like meant to be. It was very kismet.
Totally.
I love that. And I love the fact that the polar opposites you saw as a significant impetus to drive you together. Whereas a lot of people might go, yeah, but you like this and I like this. But
Yeah. It just made it, it was perfect because it was like, we knew that then if we combine those, then we would have like this whole picture where the other person could fill the gaps that we were maybe missing. And so it was just like such a no-brainer to us. Like it would just make our job so much easier.
Love that. Now, let me take a quick step back because I heard Golden State Killer. Is that, was that Zodiac or along that same line?
It was around the same time. I think they were kind of operating at the same time, but the Golden State Killer was just recently captured after like, I don't know, what, 30, 40 years? And he terrorized pretty much all of California. He went north, south, everything. You know, I grew up in California, so it was always in my ear anytime something would happen with him or Zodiac and the Night Stalker. Those were other ones that terrorized my childhood. So, you know, we've been following the case. She's so into true crime. And then, of course, I grew up with it. So we were kind of glued to the internet, like looking for updates on that constantly. So when that headline came through, we were like, oh my God, this is going to change criminal investigations everywhere. Yeah.
All right. Now I haven't read every book on the planet, but I'm certainly trying. and it begs the question. I don't know that I've read a book quite like this. And I did see recently where you were hanging out with my new friend, Megan Collin, on...
Oh, we love Megan, yeah.
She's awesome. And when I was discovering your book, it made me go, oh, the family plot, the similarity between the title. And I thought, oh, I bet you they would love her stuff and she would love theirs.
Yeah.
First of all, second of all... and they're completely different, by the way. One is serial killer and one is revolving around genetics, which is fascinating to me. And the other is more family. And I'll leave it at that for those who haven't read it. That's the first thing I want to say. But by the way, how did that gig go? I mean, that was who was that? Murder by the Book sponsored that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've known Megan for a little while, just on a personal level. I met her through actually a separate group that we're in that's for like writers who like true crime. We met through like being fans of the My Favorite Murder podcast, and so we kind of met through that and then realized we were both kind of going through similar things, and Nicole had also like met with her in some writer groups on Facebook and things like that. So we had just been talking to her for so long, and she's the most lovely person. We have so much in common. We have so many of the same interests. We like constantly message each other pictures of like what our dogs are doing and what true crime cases are happening. So we just have been wanting to do something with her for so long. And whenever we both kind of announced our family themed books were coming out, we were like, Megan, we need to do like a family murder event. Like that is like the best idea ever. And she was immediately on board, and Murder by the Books was angels like asking to host it. So it just was so perfect. We had so much fun chatting with her.
And she did blurb our book.
She did. Yeah. She blurbed our book as well for us.
I do think I saw,
I don't know if it's on the book, but it's
yeah.
We've been like posting it. Yeah, it's been posted on
Facebook. I did see it somewhere because I'm like, oh, they do know each other.
Yeah.
By the way, that cover, the cover is awesome. It's
yes, we love it. It's so chilling. Bold and like, yeah, it just really gives you that like cold, like vibrant, mm-hmm. like chill feeling. We love it. Yeah.
But what I really like is, and you've got to dig a little deeper, and folks, it'll be on the below the screen here for YouTube, and then I'll put it on the channel for the thrillerzone.com. But if you go to tsk.com,
who is tsk.com,
mm-hmm. It's even cooler because I see this guy in the image that's in front of this red trees and all, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But as you scroll down, mm-hmm. it's kind of surprising. I'm going to leave it at that as a little teaser because I'm a teaser. Yeah. But what I was going to say is Lisa Gardner. God,
yes, she's the greatest. Yeah.
This thriller keeps the shocks coming right up to the climactic end. I'm not sure you can do much better than that, girl.
I know. I mean, we were like, we might as well just quit now. Like, we just felt like that was just such a big moment for us. Like, she was so generous with giving us that blurb. So we're so grateful.
Yeah.
And I am correct in this. I just want to double check so I don't look like an idiot because it's very easy to happen. This is your debut, right?
It's our co-author debut. Nicole had something come out previously as a solo book, but it's our first book together.
Yeah, which begs the question, what's next? But I'm going to get to that first. Let me go back to this because I do want to ask, are you both full-time writers now? Did this book launch you at such a rate and the advance was so ginormous, don't tell me it's not my business, that you went, oh, I'm going to quit my job and do this?
We are both still working.
Full-time working and part-time writers. We would both love to be able to quit and you know, work full-time on writing, but you know, it takes a while to get there, I think, usually, so.
Yeah, and we're both very lucky that we really love our full-time jobs. Like, we both have great positions that we really enjoy doing, but it's exhausting doing essentially two full-time jobs because writing takes, you're not just writing, you're marketing and doing so many other things at the same time. So it's definitely busy. We're exhausted a lot, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, friend, I'm telling you something. I was talking to my friend, Eric Bishop the other day, who just launched his book, The Body Man, on the, mm-hmm. this past week. And you know, we were talking about the, when you finally get a book deal, you just kick back and you relax because they do all the work, you know? And I'm like,
wouldn't that be right?
That's not what I've heard.
That, but no.
Everybody, I think there's this misunderstanding that, you know, once you sign the big deal on the dotted line, that everybody, you know, they throw cash at you and then they say, we'll take care of everything. But tell me what your experience has been.
Well, I think that everybody, before they actually publish a book, whether they're with a smaller publisher or a bigger publisher, you always have these pie in the sky dreams. Like, I'm going to write this book. I'm going to become this breakout hit. They're going to make movies about it. And I'm going to pile in the advances. You know, the reality is really way less than that. You get the book signing and contract signed, and that's when the work actually starts. It's great that you put all this effort into this book, but you're going to have to go through so many edits after that, and you're really going to be the one doing all the work. Your editor will give you fantastic notes, hopefully, and ours always do, and they guide us on how to shape the book, but the work is largely on our shoulders to do all of that. And then, you know, they do a fair amount of PR marketing, but these days it's really, you know, the authors really have to jump in and do their fair share. And, you know, luckily both Steph and I come from marketing and visual backgrounds. So, you know, together we've been able to put together marketing campaigns and graphics and, you know, all that, but, you know, the general writer doesn't have those skills. So it can be very intimidating.
Yeah. And you spend so much time being like, going all over all the different social media platforms. Like, did we tweet today? Did we post on Instagram today? Now we're getting to TikTok because TikTok is taking off in book marketing. Like, it's just, it never seems to never stop. Like, there's always kind of another thing you need to do. So, I mean, yeah, the work doesn't ever really quit, no matter how much help I think you have from your publisher.
And then you have to start writing your next one. Yeah. So it's like, it never stops. Yeah.
No, and again, we're going to reference this and come back to it, but I know you started your next one. Back to TikTok, Steph. TikTok is, when I first saw it maybe a year ago, I thought, what is this silliness? And it is one of those things that you just get addictive and you're like, I'm not going to spend all my
rabbit hole. Yeah, I know.
But talk to me. Can we just divert off the main path for just a quick second? Are you using TikTok as a method of social media? And if so, how? I'm just curious.
We're very recent to it. So within the last few months, we've kind of started trying to wrap our head around it and dip our toe into making some TikTok videos for book marketing. It kind of started, we didn't want to have to, right? Like we're like, we have enough platforms to worry about. We don't want to have to do another one. But you know, Geneva Rose, who's the best-selling author of The Perfect Marriage, is someone that also blurbed for us. And we were talking with a lot. She's super sweet and supportive. And she just went viral on TikTok with her book marketing. It was crazy. It blew up. She had Daily Mail articles written about her and her husband from her TikToks. Like she just got huge. She was on all the book talk tables and all the bookstores. So, you know, we were kind of picking her brain, like, you know, how do we use this tool? And she gave us so much great insight to it. And from there, we were like, you know what, we just have to like bite the bullet and start using this thing that's at our disposal. So we're not quite at her rock star level yet of TikTok prowess, but we're kind of dipping our toe in it and starting to try to get some videos up. So we'll see how it goes.
But I heard an interview. I want to say maybe they were on with Mark Dawson of the self-publishing group. And I think she just dipped her toe in, was playing around with it and like said, oh, this feels goofy, but you know, what the hell? And kaboom.
Got lucky.
Yeah. But I want to, what's this? Let's do this. Either one of you. Let's pretend our listeners don't know what TikTok is. And could you put it in like a sentence? Like I'm channeling my mother now who's passed away. And I'm like, I'm trying to, all right, Ma, here's how it would work. This is what TikTok is. Are you listening? Pay attention here. What would that be? How can you describe it for me?
I would describe it as like a platform for short videos that play off viral trends. So it's like you try, like one person does a video and it takes off. So then everyone else starts doing their spins on that type of video. And people do, whether it's dances or recipes or secrets or celebrity gossip, whatever it is, there's kind of a niche on there for everybody. But it's just like 15, 30, maybe 60 second clip videos that just are something funny or informative or interesting. And people watch them and like them and comment on them. And you get random ones in your feed based on like what might interest you based on what other ones you've liked from their algorithm. So it's kind of just a really interesting platform to discover creators who now can, you know, access millions of people, I think very quickly, which is fascinating. Yeah.
Nicole, jump in there.
Well, the truth of the matter is that Steph has really taken the reins on the TikTok side of things because I am not good at that kind of stuff. And, you know, I held out as long as possible. Steph was like, we have to do this. We have to do this. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it. And then finally I was like, all right, I got to do this. So Steph has done a lot of the face forward TikToks, which has been so great. So I just started dipping my toe in and doing like book recommendations and things like that. So, luckily it's gone well so far. I'll start making some more soon, but yeah, it's been fun. I kind of see it as like Instagram and Twitter combined with YouTube, like short little trend things, but in video form, you know, it's all about the trends.
Yeah. That's what got my attention, Steph, when you said this. And I was like, wait a minute. So you actually, there's a trend. So you jump on that trend and then you do your version of that trend. Then somebody could come by and jump on your version of that trend and do their version.
It's true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a domino effect. Like it just keeps building and building and building. And I think part of the way you get viral and get thousands of followers is you either happen to start a trend, like you do something really original and everyone else is like, I want to do that too. Or you do a really, really interesting take on a trend that's currently very popular and people want to watch your version of it. So it's kind of, you really have to have your like finger on the pulse of what people want to see, which is a whole nother challenge, but that's okay.
Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm one of those guys that, I mean, Facebook makes me nervous because I don't understand it. I sound like an old man here, but they keep changing everything every time I turn around. But I'm going to jump on this thing and see what I can do. Yeah. What are you guys doing TikTok together as a co-writer? So what is, do you have a handle, I'm guessing?
It's just at Mullen and Mabry. So super easy. Anyone can find us and follow along with our antics. You see, See, some book recommendations. Some of my rescue puppy likes to make an appearance occasionally. My husband even made a surprise appearance one point. So we'll see who else we can drag into them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to jump on it because, I mean, you know, I did some acting in the past and I'm like, okay, maybe I can pull those.
You're a natural. You got to jump in there.
Let's do it.
I'll give it a swing. Okay. Both full time. Now, I want to ask you, do you feel like, big picture, writing together, is it harder or easier than writing solo?
In my opinion, loads easier. Because there's, like I said, there's these areas that I don't really like to tackle. Like it's shocking to be a writer and the words are where I struggle. And that's always been the case for me. I can come up with plots. I can plot the crap out of a book, but when I actually have to sit down and write it and like develop characters and setting and all that stuff, those are the areas that I struggle with and I necessarily don't want to do. So Steph is really great at setting and characters and she's really great with the words. So for me, it's really nice because I can write one of my chapters and it's, to me, it's just like a skeleton. It's like a skeleton of what happens in there. And then Steph goes in there and beautifies it. And then I go back and trim it back down. So it's ended up working out really well. Like almost like we're like forming this book out of clay and we're each taking a pass at it. And we're not all having to do all the work ourselves. But I would say also, I think the biggest benefit of writing with another person is having someone to share the highs and lows with, because no one is, your husband, your parents, your friends, everybody is so excited for us and supportive and we're so thankful for that, but nobody is going to care as much about our book as me and her. And no one is going to want to sit there and cry on the phone to one another because we got a bad review or something like that. So it's just nice to really have that person just call and be like, oh God, did you see that thing that just happened? And then we can sit there and vent for, and then we're done. And we can move on. So that's fantastic to me.
And also celebrating the wins too. Like it's so nice that even if it's the smallest thing, like we know we have someone to immediately call and text. It's not going to all be like, oh, they're talking about this again. Like it's just,
yeah.
We know and we understand what we're going through. And, you know, we can bounce ideas off each other. Cause right, like in the thriller genre, a big part of it a lot of time is the twist. And you can't really like talk through areas you're struggling with people if you want them to be surprised by the ending. But with each other, we both know, right? So we know every step of the way what's going on. And, you know, when I have a moment where I'm struggling to fix a plot hole or a problem, like Nicole's like a second brain that can help fill that void and vice versa. So it's just really nice always having that sounding board there.
And I want to say also like deadlines, that is the biggest help because, you know, we all have things going, like we're both still full-time working our day jobs and we have other things going on in our life. So if we get some crazy deadline, you know, we like to break it up. We're like, okay, we have 2 weeks to do this. You can have it for a week and I can have it for a week. What's your schedule look like? So if my schedule is really busy the first week and hers isn't, then it's great. She'll take it first. I'll take it second. So then I get that little leeway and it's still being worked on. So that's been great. We've both been able to kind of fill in whenever the other person has something they have to do or they just don't have the time.
Because I'm a fanatic for Inside Scoop and a lot of my listeners are writers themselves, I like to dissect just a little bit the process. So let's pretend, Nicole, you're probably, oh, that's my next question. All right, let's just, so you're gonna lay out a chapter. Maybe you'll write the first chapter and you'll bang out, we'll call it 2,000 words. At 2,000 words, you go, yeah, I feel pretty good at that. And you hand it off to Steph and then she picks it up and either A goes, that's great, I'll take it from here, or B, that sucks, I really need to rip it to shreds and start again, or C, I've got some ideas to implant into it, and then she hands it back and you tweak it from there. I mean, how does that, having never done this, it's just fascinating to me.
Well, and the thing is that like, I think the person who's writing the chapter and handing it off to the other person is the one with all of the like footnotes to add before you read it. Like, oh, it's really bad. Just, you know, the person who's reading it almost never has any comments.
Actually feels that badly about
it. Yeah, they'll just be like, okay, great. Glad to dive in. But Steph, do you want to talk about our process a little bit?
Yeah, I know. Everyone's always very fascinated by how we do this, especially because we don't live in the same state. So we do everything virtually. So step one is, we are very detailed outliners, which Nicole used to not be a an outliner and I was, so I had to drag her over to my side kicking and screaming a little bit. But so we come up with a very detailed outline first, like literally every single chapter start to finish, what starts, middle, and end of every chapter, because otherwise our chapters wouldn't be cohesive if we're having to work out of order to work at the same time. So that's kind of step one. Step two, we claim which chapters we're kind of really excited about or we're already writing in our heads, because you always have those ones that speak to you and
sure.
both want to do the ones we're very passionate about. Then we usually end up with a couple that neither of us are very excited about or a little more intimidating for some reason.
Hard ones.
Yeah, the hard ones. So those we kind of just divvy up basically to make sure we're each assigned like an equal amount of writing to do. And then, yeah, from there, like you said, so, you know, I'll write a chapter. Once I'm done writing that chapter, I kind of just write it until, like you said, I feel okay. I feel this is the most I can do with this right now. I'll upload it to an online folder. And then when Nicole has time, then she'll grab it. She'll go through with track changes. She'll add things, make comments, play devil's advocate, writing questions in the margins, change or add or delete anything that she feels makes it better. And then send it back to me as the original writer. I have kind of like final say on if I want to like approve or reject her changes. And then from there, after we're all done, we just string them all together and each do full read throughs from start to finish. But I mean, it's great. We have like a built-in editor. So kind of the first draft ends up almost being like a second draft, which is really nice.
I love that. So you jumped ahead because I was going to ask, are you yeah. more plotters or pantsers? So that you couldn't be a pantser and pull this no. off. I can't imagine it.
There's yeah. just no way. Yeah. And people had to accept that.
Oh my God. My very first novel I wrote was a complete pantser. I gave myself a situation and then I sat down to write every single time. What would I do in this situation? So I was like full on entrenched in pantser mode. And then Steph was like, we got to do this outline. So yeah,
I know she had to accept it. And now I think I've converted her though. Like she seems to
like it
now. So it's okay.
I like it now.
Well, I like this idea that the fact, if you have structure, then if you wake up one day and you're tired or you're hungover or you're just feeling lazy or you're cloudy or whatever that is, and you go, okay, well, at least I know what my beats are, right? I'm always using that phrase. I got my beats. This happens, then this happens, and then so at least I know that. And then you can have reckless abandon with it. However, on those days when you're like, I'm not feeling it, well, then you're just, it puts too much pressure on you, because with the beats, you can expand or detract or remove and add. So you have some form of a structure. But much like trying to build a house without a blueprint, it's kind of crazy. Now, I'm going to talk out of the other side of my mouth and say my first three books, two of which were written during NaNoWriMo, I was just banging, no idea where I was going. And there is a little bit of excitement about that.
There is. I love doing that, but I don't know when I'll get back to it.
And if I may, to borrow, again, this is not name dropping. It's only because I have so many fantastic authors like yourself on the show that I get to meet and talk to. Ted Bell, who is the Alec Hawk guy, phenomenal writing. He goes, I haven't sat down and planned a goddamn thing in my whole life. And I'm like, what?
I'm so amazed by that. Yeah. I'm so amazed.
All right. From my shiny object moment, is that iced tea or craft beer?
This is actually a rosé cider.
Which it doesn't taste very rosé.
Oh, Nicole, I have that one in my fridge, but in the blood orange. It's my favorite right now.
Well, I just tried the rosé one, and I think I would like the blood orange one a little bit.
You should try the blood orange. It's really good. It's like my favorite cider right now. But this is now a cider recommendation podcast.
No, I got that. But it's funny because I'm a craft brew guy. So I saw a little bit of a foam around the edge, and I'm like, oh, Nicole's my gal here. But
Nicole
my
always has a drink during any writing-related event.
Always.
I got to be honest with you. And I write at 5:30 in the morning, so it's kind of hard to start drinking that early.
I have to do coffee. Yeah.
But I'll certainly try. Yeah. But if I'm writing late night, which I used to, there's nothing like a hearty cab or a Zen or a Pinot Noir to just help knock the edge off and grease those mighty wheels.
Yeah, I feel like it loosens up the binds holding my brain together, and it's just like free for all.
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is, Nicole? Hmm. you are removing the inhibition that causes the self-doubt and constant tweakage. You know, that thing that goes, oh, geez, this isn't any good. Oh, I should certainly be doing better than that.
Right.
And I have found that wine especially does that little, hey, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it, booby. And then you write, and sometimes you amaze yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day when, and I know we'll get to this and I don't want to like jump the gun or anything, but when we were thinking about the idea for our second book, my friend had gotten me this really great bottle of whiskey that I hadn't tried. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to have a little glass of it. One night, weeknight, nothing going on. So I have it. And all of a sudden, the very first chapter for the next book that we're going to talk about popped into my head and I couldn't not write it. So I just sat there and wrote the prologue, I think it was. And I just called Steph and I was like, I just took the reins and wrote this chapter. Let me know what you think. So every once in a while, it will produce
that much. Yeah, that prologue changed and added some details, but it stayed pretty close to what you first like spewed out. So that whiskey did the trick. You should get more of that.
I know I should.
All right. Well, now I could introduce to you a whole lot of writers that I know that love themselves some whiskey and bourbon and mash and all that. Yeah. And they'll all tell you the same thing. Oh, Dave, I can't write without it. It's just part of the medicine from the good doctor.
Love that.
I agree.
Let's take a short break, but don't touch that button because we'll be back with more of the Thriller Zone right after this.
I'm Steph Mullen.
And I'm Nicole Mabry, and we're the authors of The Family Tree.
And we're here on The Thriller Zone with David Temple.
I did want to start off, and I got so enraptured with your charm. I wanted to start off with this huge congrats that I see The Family Tree took first place at the Mystery and Suspense category at the 2021 Best Book Awards for American Book Best.
Yes, we just found out yesterday, so we're very excited.
I'm excited, yeah.
Thank God that's not a tattoo on your arm because it would be all the way down and back. But that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. We're very excited.
So excited.
Okay, we're now half of the show in. I just got so wrapped up in you. Let's talk about The Family Tree. And I'm going to say one thing that I really dug, and then I'm going to toss it over to you because I got to step on my own tongue sometimes to keep from doing spoilers. But I really dug how your chapters and places were dedicated to the various victims. I mean, that was brilliant. And especially when you go to who is TSK?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whew, got it right. Yeah. You're going to really appreciate it. I don't know who did that website. That is freaking cool.
We did it together, yeah.
What?
We just wanted to do something fun. So we were like, let's make case FBI profiles for all of our victims and make a website. So with the help of Nicole's niece, who likes to play with website design, we just sat down and the three of us did it together.
Okay. I'm going to be coming back to y'all on a side note because I love some of those ideas. I'm going to steal them.
There we go.
So back into the interest of no spoilers, can you both share the audience just the basic premise of the book? That way we can, for those who haven't read it yet, because they're sitting there waiting to buy their copy, what is the greatest, you know, blurb? There you go. Oh, she's a hand model too.
I am. I actually did hand model once for the fashion company I worked for a couple years ago.
And I noticed, Nicole, you noticed that her nail polish matches the color of the book. Yeah.
I'm always prepared.
Amazing. You see your lipstick and her nails. You guys are just
we're ready to go. So The Family Tree is a story about our main character, Liz, who does a 23andMe kit for her birthday just for fun. And when the results come back, it reveals to her that she was adopted when she was a baby and she had no idea. So it's this big kind of like life-altering moment where she goes on a journey to figure out where she came from. She wants to understand, you know, her family lied to her. She wants to find her biological family and kind of come to a reckoning that the culture and identity she thought was like made up who she was is actually not who she is at all. So in this journey to find out where she came from and who she's related to, she ends up having the FBI show up on her doorstep and inform her that she is related to a serial killer who's been abducting pairs of women for over 40 years. There's been pretty much no evidence left behind by him. Her DNA going into a database when she was searching for family is literally the first hit they've had since essentially the start of, you know, trying to find him. So it goes back and forth, like you kind of hinted at, between Liz's journey on her self-discovery and trying to get to know her biological family, and these short victims chapters where you get to know our serial killer's victims over a 40-year period, kind of getting clues along the way until both timelines converge in present day at the end to reveal who the monster is in Liz's family tree.
I am going to say this, folks. At the end, I did literally have to grab my jaw and pick it up and go, what? I didn't.
That's the best compliment for a thriller writer, so thank you.
I know. I was literally, and I literally, girls, I did this. And I got to the end. I'm like, dum. What? And I went back. I'm like, okay, let me just make sure I read that right. I mean, it's, you got me.
Thank you.
Good. Yay.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, for a debut novel, someone may say, geez, kids, I mean, you know, 400 pages is pretty big.
Yeah.
However, it's covering 40 years and 24 victims. 25, okay.
Yeah. 25, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too. We discussed that when we were writing it, and it just had to be that long. It's a very complex story to plot because you do have so many different timelines and people and motives to track. And so it just kind of needed to be a little long, but we're hoping that the fast-paced tension will be enough to carry everyone through it. So
having dated someone that was adopted, I remember having conversations and she learned much earlier, but from the perspective of adoption and not knowing exactly who you are in the family dynamic, and then finding out later in life that what a surprise, I can't fathom that. That's the thing that kind of knocked me off the rail for a second, going, it made me stop and go, man, well, how would I look at life differently if I found out that I wasn't actually who I thought I was?
Yeah, I infiltrated this, I think it was Reddit, actually, a forum, and it was specifically for adoptees who had found out late in life that they were adopted. So I ended up reading something like 300 or 400 accounts of people posting what it felt like to them and how they reacted and how their family reacted, because we really wanted it to be authentic to how someone would feel. And of course, everyone feels very differently. One person might feel one way and one another, but the way that we have Liz respond to that is pretty much a consensus of how most people on that forum had said they felt. So that was really important for us to get right, because neither of us are adopted. And yeah.
And I like the fact that you went to that length to make the audience feel the reality of it versus something obtuse or, you know, bizarre, that, like, you made it real for me is what I want to say. As we begin to put a wrap on the show, because you girls are, you know, you're pretty popular, got a lot of podcasts to do. I do this little thing called rapid fire questions. The first one is going to be a little complicated, but I dreamt this up early this morning and I thought, okay. And since I have two people on the show at the same time, it's going to be really interesting. So you get to fight for the first one. The second one will be easier. But here, see if you follow me. These are dense, so I'll read them off and you two can decide which one answers which. Okay. After all, you're co-writers and so forth. So you both have been given a huge advance for your new book, as yet named, which we're going to come back and name the new one, you know. And you have to choose a location in which to write, where you get your inspiration. Be anywhere in the world, all expenses are paid. Moreover, that location has to serve as a character in the book, which you would love to do anyway. Where is it and why? Now, that's the first one. So I had set this up to give it to Nicole, and then I made one for Steph, but I thought, no, since you're co-writers and they have to decide what everything is, I'm going to let them pick. So here's number second part of this.
Okay.
Based upon that answer of the location of whoever comes up with that, your agent requested that you choose between these two elements for your protagonist. So you have to, I'm going to give you two samples of protagonist, two samples of an antagonist. So the protagonist is either a Russian dictator or a country music star. Your antagonist is going to be either a supermodel from Paris, man or woman, or a CIA operative working undercover as a homeless guy.
Huh. All right, which one do you want to take, Seth?
Oh, you're so kind.
Okay, so I'll jump on it. So I think location I would pick, and Nicole, you're going to laugh at this because you've been here, is Lake Tahoe. I'm going to go with Lake Tahoe.
Lovely.
Because I love a lake moment. I love a mountain moment. I just think that that environment, both you have summer, you have winter, you have so many opportunities to play with in that region, and it's gorgeous. So I'm going to have to go with Lake Tahoe for my location. Should I also do the second part?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go with the country music singer because I feel like you're in California. Maybe someone traveled up from LA. Maybe they're on, maybe they're on a little vacation there.
People love their country music in California, so that's fine.
Okay. All right. Okay. I talk like I know so much about California. I've been like one time. We're actually planning to come over to California hopefully next year for a little research trip, writing retreat. Research, right? And so then I think that I'm gonna go with the Paris supermodel because I feel like a country music and a Paris supermodel is in Lake Tahoe. I just feel like that's
great. Gonna pick the same thing.
I love it. This is why we work well together. I know.
All right, so we that is superb, by the way, and I probably broke that in half by giving you the whole shebang. But I want to hear your response now as the other writer of this. You don't have to go into in depth. The reason I did this is I wanted to see how two minds would choose, right. And then secondly, I'd know in an instant because we're writers. We love, writing prompts, so we love that exercise. Oh, I know what I would do with that.
Right.
So Nicole, just give me a quick little top of your head.
This is going to be great. No pressure.
I would definitely pick the same characters as her. I think we tend to go more in the everyday person instead of like CIA or police. We both like writing from more of the regular person, although country music star model are not necessarily regular, but more regular than a CIA operative. As far as location, and this is going to sound really crazy, but the only reason I'm picking it is because you said it's an all expense paid trip. So I'm going to say Greece.
Ooh.
Like okay. Off, like the islands of Greece.
I'll go. The beach.
Okay, so you'd go with Greece and mm-hmm. you'd go with the country music star and the supermodel from Paris, which it does all of a sudden feel a little bit like a romance.
Right? But I feel like
maybe they're like on their honeymoon and maybe they're like a dead body is found in their little like casita area and things go awry. I mean, who knows?
See, I love this right here was so much fun and you didn't disappoint at all. I have a funny feeling that if we had an hour, we could pour some more of that rosé cider and get crazy with it, couldn't we?
We could.
Actually, I didn't ask you, Steph, what would be your refreshing beverage of choice?
I have been drinking that blood orange cider lately. That's been my recent drink of choice, but I'm big on like Prosecco or rosé usually are my go-tos.
Okay. Yeah, you're my wife right there.
Also, I want to say in our next book, it's based around a brewery and you said you like the craft brews. So I'm like,
yeah, you'll probably get a kick out of our second book. Yeah.
And that's slated for 22?
It's slated for 2022. Yep.
And no title yet, of course. No cover.
It does
yet.
Actually. Yes, we can. It is called When She Disappeared and it's coming out in 2022. And and it takes place, which is, yeah, write it down. It was actually really fun for me. You'll actually appreciate this being from North Carolina. Uh-huh. It takes place in a fictional small mountain town near Asheville. So it was really fun, but it's like a brewery town like that, like is what supports the economy in this small mountain town. So, it was very, very fun, especially for me to write since I live so close to the Blue Ridge Mountains here. But, Nicole and I had such a blast with that setting.
I could sit here and spin 6 degrees all day long because, my sister lives up around Asheville. My brother now, lives near Asheville and we did a TV pilot for a craft brew show about 6-7 years ago.
That's awesome.
That is exciting, and I can't wait to hear about that. So it's probably mid to late 22, I'm guessing.
So it's coming out in the, so we are kind of in that, a little bit of a weird situation where we get our UK release date first because we're through HarperCollins UK, and then the US date to follow. So it's coming out in the UK beginning of March of 2022. So it's coming up fast. We're finishing final proofread now. So, and when it comes out in the UK in March, it will also be available in the ebook in the US, and then the US paperback, we should have our release date information on soon.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Okay. Here's the easier one. And this, you know, we could end with that one because that was so much fun. But I always like this. This is one of my favorite ones. Eric was saying to me the other day that he had already prepared for this because he knew I was going to ask. I don't always ask.
I'm like, I don't know.
What's that?
I was like, we didn't prepare at all. We're just like, we're just going to come in here and talk like we're friends. So it's fine.
Exactly. All right. So you two, and you can decide who answers first. You two are enjoined, invited to join me and my wife, Tammy, here in San Diego, California. Oh, by the way, the craft beer capital of the world.
Nice. All right.
It's hard not to love craft beer when you live in the capital of it. You'll both be bringing your significant other, whoever that might be, and we'll invite one other person to this fine, sexy soiree. So who will they be and why?
I'll let you go first, Steph, because you actually have a significant other.
Now, are we talking like someone we actually know or like if we had picked one person in the entire world?
Pick someone in the entire world, dead or alive. They will be alive at the dinner. And someone you've looked up to, you've admired. If you don't have a significant other, then you can bring two people to further complicate things, Nicole.
Okay. All right. So I'll bring my husband, Danny, will come because he would be very mad at me if I went to California without him. And he's actually probably going to join us on our writing retreat. Because he wants to come to California too.
Of course.
So he'll come with me. And then this is one that Nicole and I talk about all the time, how much we would really love to have a conversation with this person. I would like Stephen King to come to this soiree.
He took mine.
I'm sorry. I know. We just desperately want to sit in a room with him and talk to him forever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who in the world does not want to spend a dinner with Stephen King?
I know.
Right?
I'm sorry, Nicole, but you get two picks.
Okay. So you got to come in the pocket.
Good point. See, she's fair. She's playing fair, girls. Okay. So, Nicole, you can have Stephen King as well. And
well, I mean, realistically, I probably would bring a family member or a friend. But for the sake of this conversation, I'm not going to. So, sorry, friends and family, you're not coming. My very first pick would be Maya Angelou.
Genius.
She can just literally read the dictionary to me and I'd be happy. That'd be fantastic. And then I was going to say Stephen King, but now that you took him, because we want to have an additional person, I would say probably Margaret Atwood.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Exceptional writer. Yeah. Oh my goodness. One of my favorite quotes of Maya Angelou, golly day, my mother used to quote this to me all my life. Basically, people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yep. I live by that rule.
Well, girls, this has been more fun than I even anticipated. I figured we're going to have a pretty good time.
Yeah. No, this was great.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
So, folks, you want to find out more, you simply go to MullenandMabry.com. TikTok now, I've learned, at Mullen and Mabry. That's what I'm going to have to add. And Twitter at Nicole A. Mabry and Steph_Mullen. This has been so much fun.
Wait, so you said you guys are in San Diego?
Actually, San Diego is the area. We're in Encinitas, which is a tiny little beach surfing town just outside the city limits. But if you do come out, I know you're going to probably hit San Francisco and or LA.
We're actually planning to start in San Diego, probably.
Yes, that's why I was going to say that.
You girls are going to have to touch base with me when you come out.
We absolutely will. Yeah.
And we might actually turn that question number two into reality in part.
Stay tuned. No, I'm just kidding.
Folks, you got all that information you need. I'll put some more information down below here on YouTube and then on thethrillerzone.com, all the connections and so forth. But great big golf clap to Stephanie and Nicole Mullen and Mabry. And of course, the book. Hold it up together, girls, because we all got them right here. Look at this. Positioning perfectly.
Yeah.
The family tree. Thank you so much. You go get doggy and you go grab another rosé soda.
Right? Thanks so much, David. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See y'all.
Bye.
Thanks again to Mullen and Mabry for bringing a lot of laughs to today's show. Now, on next week's Thriller Zone, I am thrilled to have two debut authors. On Monday's show, the super talented Wanda Morris joins us to talk about All Her Little Secrets. I mean, the book. The book is called All Her Little Secrets. Folks, this is a book you're going to read and tell your friends about. It's got it all. Murder, infidelity, corporate greed, racism and bigotry, family secrets, and more. I feel pretty certain Wanda Morris is going to be one of those authors we'll be reading for some time to come. Then on Friday, I'm happy to introduce you to new pal Mark Westmoreland, author of A Violent Gospel. And by the way, the author of Blacktop Wasteland, S.A. Cosby, calls the novella a visceral slice of existential cornbread. And folks, it's a doozy. As we wrap today's show, I want to say thank you again for your support. While I'm pretty much a one-man show right now, I work hard every day to bring you the very best thriller writers from around the world. Oh, and hey, side note, today we hit 200 followers on Twitter. That gets me pretty charged up. What do you say you and I work together to get 2,000? I know we can do it. Okay, David Temple out, and I'll see you Monday on the Thriller Zone.